As we continue with our study of the Bible overview, tonight we are going to look at the Book of Lamentations. And when you read Lamentations, to me it's a very sad book. The children of Israelites are so committed to themselves, they neglect to put God first. And as a result, they are being punished for their sins. And we see that in the Book of Lamentations, there's some very sad things going on. And the author of Lamentations, whom I think is Jeremiah, for a number of reasons, which I'll share in a minute. He was so concerned, as we studied last week, about his brethren, that he wanted them to repent and turn away from their sins. So as we go through the five chapters of Lamentations, and we're not going to read the whole book because that's not what our intent is, but we are going to see how desperate the children of Israel, how they turned away from God, and they think they couldn't, nobody would ever punished them for their sins, but God remembers. And that's an admonition for you and I today. He's going to remember our sins. And it's up to us to repent from those sins so that we may have a right relationship with Him. And we hope and pray that by His grace and mercy, He will extend to us eternal life. The key thought in Lamentations is mourning and judgment. We see how the Israelites succumbed to their own pleasures and passions, that they forgot about God. And Jehovah is going to punish him for it. And the content of the Book of Lamentations is mourning over the destruction of Jerusalem. And the key lesson we could draw from the Book of Lamentations is the miserable end of sin. God's going to take care of those who have sinned. He's going to punish those who are continuing to live a life of sin. But the prophet Jeremiah had hope that his God will forgive them. And as we read the Book of Lamentations, we can see Jesus in this book, because Jesus will assume God's wrath for us as he did on the cross. If we go to 2 Chronicles, let me open up my Bible, chapter 35 and verse 25, we read, "Then Jeremiah chanted a lament for Josiah, and all the male and female singers speak about Josiah in their lamentations to this day. And they made them an ordinance in Israel. Behold, they also written in the Lamentations." And again, if you go to the 36th chapter of 2 Chronicles, in verses 21 through 23, we could see that Jeremiah witnessed when the King Cyrus of Persia allowed the children of Israel to be freed and go back to Jerusalem. So in the book of Lamentations, even though we don't know who authored this book by reading the book, we could see that Jeremiah had a huge stake in these laments. So as we go through this book, we see a series of five laments centered around the fall of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah witnessed that and also witnessed the children of Israel returning to their land. Lamentations is a visual and spiritual look at the horrible state of Judah just after the Babylonian invasion and exile. Children of Israel completely digressed from worshiping God and God punished them for their sins with the Babylons. They invaded, they destroyed the temple, and they put them in exile. When we look at the word lament as a verb, it is to express sorrow, mourning, or regret for often demonstrably. And this quote is from a Jane Austen that says, "Mourn must regret the impudence, lament the result." It also means to regret strongly. He lamented his decision not to go to college, as an example. As a noun, we see it's a crying out in grief or wailing. We also see it being a dirge and an elegy, and also it's a complaint. I got this from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. So that's what the word lament means. And in the book of Lamentations, five different laments, and Lamentations was to express despair and teach God's people that disobedience to the Lord results in immense suffering and distress. That's an admonition for us today. When we sin against God, when we disobey his word, we're going to suffer. We may not suffer immediately, but sin is going to draw us away from God. And by remaining in that sinful condition, we will not have eternal life. And sin, no matter what sins, a lot of people teach there's different degrees of sin, but sin is a separation from God, no matter what sin it is. And we as Christians should remember that. When we read the book of Lamentations, we could see how the Israelites turn their backs on God, and they figure, well, look, we're his chosen people, and he's not going to punish us, but yet he did. And if you look at their history, as we are privileged to have before us in the Word, we could see God's long suffering and his faithfulness to his Word. And if you digress from that, you're going to be punished. Jeremiah pours out his emotions and compassion an empathy for God's nation as he watches them inhabit a foreign land. It must have been very hurtful for Jeremiah to see the children of Israel be removed from the promised land and be put in captivity. Lamentations is intended to help Christians deepen their understanding of God's holy word. You read this particular book, and it's a short book, only 5 chapters, as Langland had separated the scroll. We could see how the sins of the Israelites forced God's hand to punish them. The book presents the justice and holiness of God in dealing with sin. Too often, people enjoy sin. In our world today, there's sin all around us. And Satan is using the pleasures of this world, the wealth of this world, the status of people in the world, to pull people away from God. We see in Lamentations the compassion of God in dealing with us. He is long-suffering and merciful, and he doesn't want to see anyone lost. So when you look at, when you read Lamentations, you could see how the children of Israel sinned and God punished them for that sin. We also see in the book of Lamentations the faithfulness of God. He had given us before the foundations of the world the hope that we have in Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, that gives each and every one of us and mankind in the world the opportunity to be saved, to have salvation. And as Christians, we have an obligation to share that message to the best of our ability with others. And we read in Lamentations how God is faithful to his word. We also see the goodness of God to those who wait on him. It's important that we realize that God doesn't work on our timeline. He works on his own timeline. And sometimes we are going to suffer. Sometimes we are going to have problems in our lives, and we go to God in prayer. But we have to remember, it's not our will, but it's God's will that will be done. And the children of Israel forgot that. It's amazing to me when you look at the time that they were released from captivity from Egypt, and then again, as a sin, God punished them. And as they progressed during their lifespan, we see that sin put a wedge between God and the children of Israel. But God showed them compassion. God showed them his faithfulness. God showed them his love. And he punished his people as a parent today would punish their children if they did something wrong. And we have to follow that in our lives, because God is our Heavenly Father, and we have to remember that. And Jehovah is the same God of the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. In chapter 1 of Lamentations, we see Zion's great sins. Judah goes into exile. Zion is rejected by God. Oh God, I am despised. In any sorrow like mine, there is no one to comfort me. Sorrows without comfort when you look at chapter 1. We see Jerusalem lies devastated with no one to comfort Israel. We see in chapter 1 five cries of despair. And it's organized around the repetition of the same refrain. So when you read chapter 1, you can see that. There's sorrows without comfort in the first chapter. Chapter 2, we see the devastation of Jehovah. Jehovah's anger against Jerusalem. And God shows no pity to Jacob. The prophet describes Jerusalem's destruction. And the Lord leaves his sanctuary. Young and old both get slaughtered in the streets. Zion speaks out, Lord destroyed me. The Lord destroyed me. So we see in chapter 2, God all-consuming anger poured out upon Jerusalem. That is so sad to a people who were the chosen people, were God's people. The mourning and moaning, the day of the Lord's anger consumes Jerusalem with total destruction. That is so heartbreaking to people, especially God's chosen ones. Can I get a volunteer to read Lamentations chapter 2, verse 17, please?
The Lord has done what he purposed. He has accomplished his word, which he commanded from the days of old. He has thrown down without sparing, and he has caused the enemy to rejoice over you. He has exalted the mighty of your adversaries.
Thank you, Anne. So we see that in this particular verse, God's word had come true, and he didn't spare his people. He allowed the enemies of Jerusalem, the Babylonians, to conquer them. And then as we read last week in Jeremiah, their demise is coming too. So it's important for us today to remember what happened in the past so that we could stay on a path that's a righteous path, a righteous relationship we should have with God. And Jesus allowed his teachings through the apostles, his being on earth and sharing God's word with us. And now he extended it to the apostles so that we may have a record. We may have God's word in our hearts and minds, and remember the sins of the Israelites as a warning to us today. In chapter 3, Jeremiah expresses his feelings and hope. And the discernment of Jeremiah, he has driven me into darkness. The steadfast love of God never ceases. Let us return to God. You will repay my enemies. And we look at Jeremiah, he prophet, a man of hope. He still holds on to that hope that God will restore his children. And as we read to chapter 3, it's a rekindling of hope. It's an admonition for you and I to know that what God says, he's faithful to his word, and we have hope in that. We have solace in our lives so that we know if we stay on the straight and narrow path, God's going to reward us. He's going to give us mercy and grace. And the journey from despair to hope hinges on the character of God. It doesn't rely on humans like you and I. It doesn't rely on what we can do, what our ability is. It relies on God, his loving kindness, compassion, and faithfulness. Now, when you read the book of Lamentations, you could draw from chapter 3 how the character of God. We could see that today in our lives as Christians. And we should remember that God deserves our praise, our honor, and our glory in everything we do. In chapter 4, we see Zion is punished. It's the discipline of Jehovah. The holy stones lie scattered. The children beg for food. Women boil their own children. God pours out his fierce anger. O Zion, your punishment will end. That is so hard to read in chapter 4. You see this scene how children don't have any food. And the women, the moms, boil their children so that they can eat. How horrible is that? They digress from God. They didn't put God first, and they don't remember God. And the anger of the Lord punishes his people because of their sin. They digress so much from God, they allow Satan to enter their lives, and they sin. Their former glory is transformed into devastation, and God's wrath will fall upon their enemies as well. When we sin, we are blessed with an avenue to repent from those sins as we pray to God through Christ Jesus. What a blessing that is for you and I, that we have that avenue to approach our Heavenly Father. Too often we forget to communicate. We forget to talk to God. And we should be talking to God throughout our lives. It's important, even in when you look at a family unit today, it's important to have that communication between husband and wife, between children and parents. It's important to have that sort of relationship. And what's more important is to have that relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we do have that avenue through Christ Jesus. And we should remember to utilize that. In chapter 5, look, O God, and see our disgrace, the people's prayer for restoration, a request for mercy. We have become orphans. Slaves rule over us. You, O Lord, rule forever. Renew our days as of old. So there is hope. They are asking God for forgiveness. They are asking God for mercy. and it's an appeal, chapter 5, for restoration. It's important that we, in our lives, when we do fall short and we do sin, it's important that we get our lives back on track so that we can have that right relationship with God. The Lord's unchanging dominion and promise of restoration should give hope in the midst of desolation as Israel continues to appeal to God's mercy and grace. That is such a blessing for us when we read this particular book, to know that God allows us to approach Him, that God has given us a way through Christ to ask for forgiveness, ask for His mercy, and ask for His grace. Can I get a volunteer to read Lamentations chapter 5, verses 19 through 22, please?
You, O Lord, rule forever. Your throne is from generation to generation. Why do you forget us forever? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to you, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are exceedingly angry with us.
Thank you, Eileen. So we see in this particular prayer that they're seeking God's mercy. They want to be restored. And as we've been studying the Old Testament, God's going to save a remnant of Israel so that Jesus will come and He will die on the cross for not only sins of Christians, but for all humanity. And His death on the cross, His blood not only flows forward under the New Testament regime, but also backwards for those people who strive to keep Mosaic law. Jerusalem was the chosen city of God. It was where Abraham offered Isaac, and God intervened with a promise of a future sacrifice. We see it was David's royal city. It was a city of Solomon's temple where God listened to those who prayed to Him. The temple stood for 300 plus years in its splendor and glory before its destruction by the Babylonians. It was a city where the Israelites offered sacrifices to God. It was where God dwelt. It was unthinkable to the Jews and even to those around that it would be destroyed. In the mind of the Jews, God would never let His temple be destroyed. Jeremiah prophesied it would happen, and it did. So we see that they thought they were going to be God's forever people, no matter what they did. But God punished them. So Lamentations is the longest lament in the Bible. The book of Lamentations demonstrates the purpose and power of turning to God, laying out our complaints, asking Him for help, and choosing to trust Him. It not only serves as a memorial to the destruction of Jerusalem, but it also shows us how to pray when the dark clouds of suffering roll in. When you look at the book of Lamentations, it should be a book of encouragement to Christians today. It teaches us how to pray. It teaches us to approach God and ask for help, ask for his mercy, ask for his grace. Lamentations displays the severity of sin and the holiness of God. The book is a poetic memorial, elegy, a recounting and a warning. It rehearses the suffering and the grief connected to the sacking of the city of David. When you look at the city of Jerusalem, it was God's city. And he had the Babylonians destroy it because of their sin. Lamentations, it identifies the depravity of God's people as the cause of divine judgment. It elevates the right of the holy God to discipline his people, even using a pagan nation as his instrument. That must have been horrifying to the children of Israel back in the day. We also see that Lamentations gives the church a voice in suffering. Lamentations provides a model for how God's people can process moments when we sin. Jeremiah was a faithful prophet. He warned the people about the coming judgment. When the brokenness of humanity was on full display, lament was an appropriate response. Lamentation shows us how to pray during suffering. It's important to approach God in a humble spirit, knowing that he and he alone is in charge, not us. Not what we do, it's God's will. Lamentations provides hope. Lamentations shows us the connection between engaging in God's truth and the hope we have in God's loving kindness, compassion, and faithfulness. God loves us, and he shows us compassion, and he's faithful in his word. And we can see that time and time again as we study stories from the Old Testament. And we can see how he took care of his people in the New Testament, in the first century church. Can I get a volunteer to read Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23, please?
The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Thank you, Di. So the Lord's loving kindnesses never cease. And his compassion for humanity never fails. But yet we have to remember he's going to punish sin. He is faithful to his word. And we have to remember that. And we, as Christians, should thank him for even the very air we breathe on this earth. Everything that our Creator does, he does for you and I. And we should recognize that he is the great Almighty. And we should share that with others in the world, our neighbors, our friends. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet for his deep and abiding passion for his people and their city. We talked a little bit about that last week in the book of Jeremiah. Can I get a volunteer to read Lamentations chapter 3, verses 48 through 50, please?
My eyes run down with streams of water because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. My eyes pour down unceasingly without stopping until the Lord looks down and sees from heaven.
Thank you, Carol. So Jeremiah was very concerned for his brethren. And he was so concerned that he was weeping over their sins. And he saw that there was hope if they repented. And Jesus expressed the same sorrow over the sins of the people and their rejection of God as he approached Jerusalem and looked ahead to her destruction at the hands of the Romans. Can I get someone to read Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, please?
When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you and surround you and hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation."
Thank you, Faith. So we see Jesus expressed the same type of sorrow that Jeremiah expressed for his people. And Jesus knew what was coming. And the people thought this wouldn't happen. But as we know, it did. And God is a God of hope. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 24 and 25, we read, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him." So God is a God of hope. And as Christians, we know we have hope in God because of his faithfulness to his promises. And no matter how far we have gone from him, we have the hope that we can return to him and find him compassionate and forgiving. That is such a blessing for us, that God will show us compassion and he will be a forgiving God as long as we turn away from our sins and repent from those things. Can I get a volunteer to read 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 through 10, please?
"If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us."
Thank you, Carolyn. So when we read what John has said, we should confess our sins to him because he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. And he will take care of us. That's such a blessing for us today, because our God is a God of hope. And we know in our hearts that we can return to him. And he will show us compassion. He would show us loving kindness, mercy, and give us grace and forgive us of our sins. Our God is a loving God. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, "The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail." God loves his people. He loves humanity. And he doesn't want to see anyone lost. That's why we as Christians have a responsibility to share the message with others. To share the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ Jesus with the people that we encounter in the world. In his great love and compassion for us, God sent his Son so that we would not perish in our sins, but we can live eternally with him. How great a promise we have in God's word. And can I get a volunteer to read John chapter 3, verse 16, please?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life.
Thank you. And so he gave us his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God shares his great love and compassion with us so that we one day may have the opportunity to be with him in heaven. Jeremiah describes the desolation of a once proud city of Jerusalem with the following. Children begged food from their mothers. Can someone read Lamentations chapter 2, verse 12, please?
They say to their mothers, "Where is grain and wine?" As they faint like a wounded man in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out on their mother's bosom.
That's horrible to me. Children begging for food back in the day. They didn't have any to give them. And young men and women were cut down by swords. Can I get someone to read Lamentations chapter 2, verse 21, please?
On the ground in the streets lie young and old. My virgins and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered, not sparing.
Thank you, Ty. We see young men and women killed by swords. That must have been a horrible scene. And the prophet Jeremiah observed this, and it must have broken his heart. And also we see compassionate mothers use their children for food. That's horrible. Can I get someone to read Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 10, please?
The hands of compassionate women boiled their own children. They became food for them because of the destruction of the daughters of my people.
That must have been horrible to witness. And we also see that even the city's roads mourned over its condition. Jeremiah could not help but acknowledge the condition of Jerusalem, piled with rubble. Can I get someone to read Lamentations chapter 1 and verse 4, please?
The roads of Zion are in mourning because no one comes to the appointed feasts. All her gates are desolate. Her priests are groaning. Her virgins are afflicted. And she herself is bitter.
Thank you, Faye. So we see even the roads mourn over its condition. That must have been horrible to witness. And Jeremiah wept over these things. He was so concerned for the well-being of his brethren that he cried for them. He pleaded with the Lord. But the Lord punished him. And it must have been a horrible sight to see. Jeremiah pictured himself captured in a besieged city without anyone to hear his prayers as a target for the arrows of the enemy. We see in Lamentations chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, he has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Even when I cried out and called for help, he shuts out my prayer. But Jeremiah continued to pray to God. In verse 12 of chapter 3, he bent his bow and set me as a target for the arrow. So the Lord, Jeremiah, felt he was abandoned, but yet he still had hope that God was going to preserve a remnant of his people. And he had hope in the Lord. We read a portion of this before, Lamentations chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail, and they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. That's a verse we should remember. That's a scripture that we should recall when we feel lowly in our lives. That's a scripture that the prophet Jeremiah shares with us about the Lord's loving kindnesses. They never cease. And he has compassions for us. And he's very faithful to what he says to you and I. He has hope in the Lord. We should share the same sentiment in our lives as Christians. When we're in a lowly state, we should remember we have hope in the Lord. We have God's word that he will take care of us. Lamentations teaches us to find comfort when experiencing extreme times of sorrow, grief, and suffering as we reflect on the character of God. His loving kindness, his compassion, his faithfulness. It also shows us to understand the workings of the Lord, Lord's heavy hand of discipline upon his own people because of their sin. We as Christians are not going to escape the judgment of God. We are going to be judged for those deeds, both good and bad. And we will be responsible for what we have done in this life. And we hope that God will extend his mercy and his grace to each and every one of us. Lamentations teaches us to motivate us to confess our sins and repent. We look at the children of Israel. God punished them for their sins. But he also freed them, allowed a remnant of his people to return back to Jerusalem to rebuild. And the prophets of old were encouraging the people of Israel to repent and confess their sins to God. We also see that to appreciate the abundant fountain of the Lord's loving kindness, compassions, and faithfulness, no matter how bleak our circumstances might look. There are times when we feel that we're abandoned, but we're not. God is with us, and we should always remember that he is our priority in our lives, and we should be putting him first, no matter how bleak the circumstances may look. Pray to God. Ask for help. Ask your brethren for help. Ask your brethren to pray with you. Lamentations also teaches us to be confronted with how seriously God takes sin and the awful consequences of his anger. You look at the book of Lamentations. You look how far the Israelites fell with their sins. And God took care of that. And he's going to take care of our sins if we don't confess them and don't repent from them. We ought to be reminded of God's sovereignty. We're not in control, but God is. We should remember that God is our creator. And we are reminded every day when we look around us, he created everything. Our Father created the world. And we should remember God's sovereignty. And always remember that it's his will that will be done, not ours. And finally, Lamentations teaches us the importance not only of mourning over our sin, but of asking the Lord for his forgiveness when we fail. And we do fall short, as Paul had shared with us in the book of Romans in chapter 3 and verse 23, for all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We do have sin, and we have a privilege as his children to approach them through Christ Jesus and ask for forgiveness. And when you read the book of Lamentations in chapter 5, we see the children of Israel are appealing for Jehovah's mercy, Jehovah's grace. And we as Christians, when we do fall short in sin, we should approach God. We should communicate to our Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus, repent from those sins and ask for forgiveness. And he will forgive us. So Lamentations is a very sorrowful book, but it teaches us so many things. And as Christians, we should take what we learn from the children of Israel so that we can apply it to our lives today. Are there any additions or questions or concerns everyone wants to share with our discussion tonight?
Well, I was just thinking, Lenny, how important it is that we not give up on God when we're praying and the answer isn't coming ASAP. It's in his own good timing, and we just can't afford to allow Satan to get us to a point where we're thinking God's not listening or he doesn't care or whatever, you know.
That's an excellent.
That's when we really lose out. The battle's already been won. Jesus has done that for us. And we just can't afford to throw it away by allowing him to take control.
Exactly. That's an excellent point, Carolyn. And we have to remember, as you said, God's in control, not us. We may think we have the ability. We may think we have the knowledge. But God had given us his word as a guide for our lives. And it's up to us to remember that in God's time, not our time, he will give us what we ask for. And we may not get what we want. But yet we know that his will be done, not ours. Thank you for that comment. Anybody else have anything?